This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
That's right. Welcome to The Informer. It is Tuesday, the 10th of October, and I'm your host, Ruby Susan.
Hi, Ruby. And I'm Ian Muchamore. On tonight's show, we're looking at social and supportive LGBTQI spaces, how they are evolving and how new spaces are also being created.
But first, we'll be talking about a very new space that's been set up here in Melbourne for LGBTI people and rainbow families. So our spaces in the queer community can be permanent, they can be things that pop up every week or every month, or they can be temporary places that are organised in times of crisis. We have James on the line to speak to us about Q Space Melbourne, which is a community-led response hosted by parents of gender-diverse children, Proud to Play, and Queer Space at Drummond Street to promote and support emotional and mental well-being for rainbow families, LGBTI youth, and children during the postal survey. Thanks for joining us, James.
Thank you for having me.
It is an absolute pleasure.
James, you describe this Q Space Melbourne as a safe space for LGBTQI people and rainbow families. Tell us what's involved.
So basically the Q Space is created to be a social space where anyone can, I feel included, and access services when and where they need it without the waiting times.
Right. So this is specific to, or has resulted from, the marriage equality debate?
That's correct, yeah. So what we found in Ireland during the referendum, research showed that there was about a 150% increase in mental health resources and counselling services, and that further increase, people just couldn't meet the demand. Yeah. And we're seeing that same thing happen in Australia today with some authorities having a waiting time of up to a year.
A year? Well, yeah. Obviously, that if in times of crisis, that can be a bit too long.
Yeah, so we're encouraging people to come forward and seek mental health support if they need it, but when they need to see someone face-to-face, it's often proving a little bit more difficult.
That's exactly right. We have great online spaces at the moment and great over-the-phone spaces, but some people just want to see a face-to-face mentor and have a chat.
So the first session is tomorrow night, I believe, in Carlton. And what if someone was coming along to that and they were from a family or an individual that was seeking support? What would they expect?
Yeah, so we have two sessions. The first one runs between 4 and 5.30 p.m. in Carlton, and that's for LGBTI plus youth and rainbow families. Mm-hmm. So that's set up like a youth group. So we'll have conversations about what people might be feeling. There's also games and activities, and we're playing a movie as well in another room. But if you just want to break away, you can. Then we have another one at 6.30 to 7.30 p.m., for people over the age of 18 who might be part of the LGBTI community, their friends or family, and that's more of an adult support network. So it's having those in-depth conversations about how we're feeling and what positive things we can be doing to help ourselves.
And about how many people do you expect to come along, or what's your capacity?
We have no idea how many people are going to have come along. It's the first time this has ever been trialled, and we really just want to see how it goes. Our capacity is about 100 people.
Wow.
So we do have more capacity if needed to break out into other spaces.
Right.
Can I just ask, James, how did these three groups, because I know you're from Proud to Play, how did these three groups come to sit together and discuss this particular space that needed to be filled? Has this discussion been going on for a while? When was this an idea that was solidified?
Yeah, so the discussion has been going on for a while, and all discussions that you find behind the scenes with the survey have been going on for a very long time, and nothing's really being done to help people now and then.
Yeah.
So it basically came out of the result of us all cracking it and saying we need to put something up ASAP, and we need to help the people who are being affected now. We're a few weeks in already. We are doing great with the placards and the rallying, but that mental health support just isn't there yet.
Yeah. So Volunteers is, I think, perhaps going to be a theme tonight. How are you using volunteers and bringing people into this space to do something which is going to reach out to so many people?
Yeah, so we're really looking for volunteers who have any skills. So it's a time where you don't have to hold up the placard. You don't have to go door knocking. This is just come, help out, serve some tea. We've got a lot of healthy snacks that we need served and help preparing. We also need mental health professionals who can come and support us and give some of their time for people. Anybody who wants to volunteer that's over the age of 18 and has a valid Working with Children's check can get in contact with us at qspacemelb@gmail.com.
Right, right, right.
And what about people who want to find out more about, is there a website or is there a landing page people can find out about the scheduled activities? So, and
because this is a private space, so we're not wanting to deliver the address, hence why we haven't said the address. All we said is that it's in Carlton. Everybody who wants more information can email us first on qspacemelb@gmail.com and we'll send you all the information, brochures, pamphlets and anything that you might need to know.
Perfect. All right, no worries. We'll make sure to put that information up for our listeners.
This is a really innovative idea. Obviously, this is a space that's being created in a time of crisis. We should probably just mention that if people are feeling mental distress and they can't come along to something like Tomorrow Night, QLife is a help service, and that's 1-800-184-527. Is there anything else that you'd recommend, James?
Yeah, definitely. So Q Headspace has a fortnightly online chat as well with queer peers, and mentors that any young person can attend. Also, giving your local LGA, so your local government authority, a call and seeing where the services are closest to you.
James, this is a great initiative. Thank you for talking to us. We hope to have your show another time. And we'll be right back after this.
Thanks again, James.
Thank you.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program and your link to the stories that matter.
That's right, you're listening to The Informer, and the theme for tonight is spaces, why we make them and what's so important. Now, in the studio with us is Gordon Wilson, LGBTI elder and long-term presenter here at Joy 94.9. Thanks for being here.
Pleasure to be here.
We also have Rachel McFadden, who's arts producer and coordinator at The Loop Project and Space, which is in CBD Melbourne.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
And finally, we have Kirsten Holden, the president of the Ballarat Pride Hub, who is on the line. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, great. We can hear you there, Kirsten. I wanted to start with Gordon, our elder, and great piece in The Guardian today, Gordon, which was about the coming back out ball, which was on Saturday. We also talked about that a little bit on the show last night. And that was really part of an effort to celebrate the tremendous work that our elders have done in the community. Gordon, you're also involved in setting up other types of LGBTI spaces. There's an event at Fitzroy Town Hall, for example. Can you tell us a bit about that?
That's the Elders Dance Club. And it's usually Thursday, the first Thursday of the month at the Fitzroy Town Hall from 5:30 to 7:30. So it's not a late night. So if you're older, you're not going to be out late at night and have to worry about getting home.
Is there a story about how that space was created?
Well, it was Tristan Tristan Meacham that started it all. He decided that there had to be some sort of space for older gay and lesbian people to go out and enjoy themselves. And of course, dancing is one of the great things that keeps you fit, keeps you healthy, and it also makes you interact with people, which is rather good. And that's why dancing is such a good way to get to know people. I've got to know so many older gay and lesbian people since I've been. I've only been three or four times, but it's a brilliant night. Yes.
And do you think that it's, you know, is it sustainable? Is the sort of thing you expect to go on for some? I mean, some of these social spaces that we're talking about have been going on for years.
Yes. Well, it's possible. I don't know what the outlook is for the whole group. I know that Tristan was organising it, and it was a lead up to the coming back out ball. So it was one of those spaces that he created. But I think it's become so popular that it'll continue.
Well, I would love to reach back and touch on spaces for elders just a second. So, but we'll move on with Rachel. So the Loop Bar and Project Space has made a point of doing a bit more than displaying a yes poster in their window as far as supporting the community, and seems to be going to some effort to create a safe, welcoming and very inclusive space for members of the LGBTI community. So How did this come about? Was it so? This seems to have been quite a decision that the entire organisation is behind. Was it an evolution based on your clientele, or was this a decision that was made? You know, we are going to take these particular steps moving forward to make our bar a better place for queer people.
Yeah, I think we've always been an inclusive space, and we've really made a point of that. I think when we knew that the postal vote was going to go ahead, we just got together and we thought, what can we do? We really want to help. How can we help? And so we do queer arts events, we do projections every single day, and we donate a lot of money from our drink sales.
And how has the response for that been? Have you noticed that your clientele's gotten a little gayer?
Look, it's really funny. A lot of people have come in and gone, oh, I haven't been to Loop for a couple of years now, but people know us. The arts community in Melbourne is fantastic and incredibly loyal. And often there's people that have had a filming screening at Loop before and they just haven't encountered the space again. It's really interesting. The other day we hosted an event and somebody came and said, oh, I didn't know this was a gay bar. And I was like, We're actually not a gay bar. This is an inclusive space. And, you know, they were like, oh, okay, this is interesting. And it's like, well, yeah, I think that the idea of inclusive spaces as opposed to kind of just gay bar. Yeah.
We also have on the line Kirsten Holden from Ballarat. Kirsten, I believe you've had sort of a similar experience that you've been working with LGBTI-friendly venues. Can you tell us a bit about about some of the arts and the social events you've been organising?
Yes, I can. The social venues that we've been working with around Ballarat were not exclusively LGBTIQ-friendly, but they had the rainbow flag sticker on their door, so we were aware that that was a safe space for our community to utilise. And when we started the hub, we actually started it as social events run at one of those bars called the Bushka Bar in Ballarat, which we're unfortunately losing due to lack of support from the wider Ballarat community, because it's actually not exclusively a gay bar, but it's sort of been given that title thanks to the gay events that we've had there. So, yeah, we sort of have encountered a little bit of that, and people are like, oh, we didn't know this was a gay bar, when it's really not. But
they don't,
because they think it is a gay bar, but it's not.
It sounds like that's caused some problems for the bar, enough that they're no longer willing to host your events, or they're closing. What's happening there?
They've actually sold the building, so the business has been sold as well, and it will no longer be the Bushka Bar. It'll be something else. It's just some lack of support from the wider community, because people do associate it as a gay bar when it's not really, and it's sort of lost its support here in Ballarat, unfortunately.
Now, Kirsten, I was chatting to you before, and you were saying that you only actually arrived in Ballarat in the last 12 months or so, and then you've taken on this role of being president of the Ballarat Pride Hub, establishing a physical centre, arts festivals. I was just interested in your backstory and just what drives a person to do that type of, put that tremendous volunteer involvement in. What's your passion?
Well, it actually starts off as a little bit of a sad story. My uncle passed away of cancer in January last year, and he was only 56 years old. So I ended up taking that and taking stock of my life. I was in a domestic violence situation. I ended up taking that and taking stock of my life and going, what am I going to do with it? And 12 months later, the relationship I was in at the time, which was a heterosexual one, fell apart, and I decided, I moved up to Ballarat because my sister was up here, and I decided that I needed to be making good use of my time, and I just had a passion for the LGBTI community, because I didn't feel like it was fair that myself and people like me are getting left behind in society, and I sort of went with that idea and ran with it and grabbed it.
You certainly have run and grabbed it. You've been running, there's been a number of arts festival events over the last week.
Also the first Pride Hub to be set up because you did beat Melbourne.
Yes. Yeah, by several years possibly.
We're a little bit proud of that, to be perfectly honest, because we're a regional area, obviously.
Yeah.
as much as we appreciate Melbourne, we are pretty proud of that. And it just, you know, Frolic Festival is actually run by a separate group who we work in conjunction with quite often. It actually started out as a LGBTI-friendly mall, and then they sort of did the same thing as me. They took that idea and sort of ran with it and made it bigger.
Right, right. So very, very important on the volunteers. We will be back right after this.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Now, that was just a very small part of a song called I Know a Place by Muna, which is a song about the importance of queer spaces for and the how they are fit to, like, as refuges and place people can go to feel safe when their environments might not be so, when they can find like-minded people. Now, we've been talking with Kirsten from Ballarat, we've been talking with Rachel from The Loop, and Gordon, who is just generally quite, I think, a veteran of the queer scene here in Melbourne. And we've been talking about spaces that, and particularly gay spaces and queer spaces, how they've come up and how it does seem that something Gordon was talking about before the show started was that we have seen closures of a lot of famous, I suppose, gay bars before that break. Kirsten, you were mentioning that a bar in Ballarat that wasn't a gay bar but hosted gay events actually lost enough support from the community for that they are no longer operating. Now, Gordon, what have you noticed particularly around, you know, the social scene for queer people?
Well, the whole thing has changed a hell of a lot since I arrived here in 1958, I can assure you. Once upon a time, there was two big hotels in the city. They're no longer gay. One of them's closed completely. But then in the more modern times, there are lots of the hotels that have closed, like the Greyhound and the Market. And there have been other places around the area, you know, nightclubs and all the rest of it, that have actually found that they're no longer attracting the gay audience, or they may get straight and gay mixtures. But there's so much has changed in that way. I don't know whether it's because of the social media or what it is, but you just don't see these places anymore.
I think there's been some comments about rising costs, particularly in the city, so far as the amount of money those businesses now have to make to stay operational. So it does seem to be, I know, myself growing up, the only gay spaces I knew of were the Peel, which I couldn't really go to very often, because, and that's something we might touch on again later, I suppose, moving through. And Rachel, you've been talking about creative, inclusive spaces. So what role do you think inclusive spaces play in kind of the new scene that's emerging as far as places that people can take their friends to as they come out and as they're kind of starting to learn about themselves and come to grips with their sexuality, or just people who want to do a bit more in social networking with people like them?
So the first event that we ran was a community gathering, and that was really just about people coming down to the space, having conversations and knowing, and like, you know, knowing that they're in a safe and space that kind of celebrates as well. I think that it is really important to... Sorry, I've lost my track of thought.
No, that's okay. So you mentioned before that, you know, so you're not a gay space, but people have been trying to call you that. Do you think that there's still kind of an assumption that the minute that there are a few queer people in a building, everyone starts to see it as a queer space?
Well, this is coming from two gay men themselves. So, I think it's a huge compliment that they felt so safe and so welcome in our space. And I mean, labels. I'm just done with labels. so I don't want to call us a gay or a non-gay space. We're an inclusive space. And you know, definitely we're very committed and active in the art scene. And artists are very. I think that. All of the artists I've spoken to are very, very supportive of marriage equality and LGBTI rights.
Well, I think you'd actually mentioned that there were some people who filmed something that they'd actually been to Gordon's dance class on Friday to do some filming for
right.
that. Yeah, yeah. So that was just film amateurs that, you know, I just asked them. I said, hey, you've got 2 weeks to make a short. How do you feel about making one about marriage equality? And they said yes straight away. And it was just wonderful. They went down there. They spoke to guests. Yeah, it was fantastic. And then we screened it alongside films, shorts that had won you know, international awards. So,
I wanted to bring Kirsten in on this topic because perhaps it's a little bit different in regional areas. Do you feel, Kirsten, do you feel that in some cases that people are really looking for an exclusively gay or lesbian or queer or trans space and that they really have no other opportunity in what could be quite conservative areas?
Yeah, I am feeling that a little bit because we do have the conservatism up in Ballarat, obviously, because of Ballarat's heritage and in Australia's history. So, yeah, I do feel that a lot of the people up here are looking for places where they know they will find like-minded people because they just feel more comfortable with like-minded people and they feel safer. So that is definitely a trend here.
And what with the Ballarat hub would your ambitions be to create those sort of spaces? What do you think is realistic and sustainable?
Well, when myself and the local activists who assisted me to start Pride Hub started it, we saw it as filling a gap that was in Ballarat when it came to LGBTIQ people over 25. When you're over 25 here in Ballarat, you really have nowhere really left to go.
Yeah.
Under 25 have had space, but once you're over 25, it's really only clubs, and a lot of people aren't into the club scene.
So,
we kind of felt like we were filling that space, and we're kind of hoping that we can become kind of like an over 25 headspace, but also with the social occasions as well, like social events and like specifically LGBTI and ally events, just to create that safe space in a city that may not necessarily be
as friendly as it could.
Kirsten, these things don't run on hot air. They run on a lot of passion and also they need funding behind them. Do you find that it's difficult to get funding or to you know, develop a business case where it's really about social support or perhaps I get a feeling that sometimes the funding and the support and the interest from government is where there's something specific around mental health or support or a particular support group. But when you say it's really about social connectedness, it's a bit harder. How do you keep these things going?
Yeah, we are about social support at the moment, but we're currently in the process of applying for DGR1 status, which is charity status, which will allow us to apply for funding. But, yeah, we just did find, like, we had a lot of people coming to us just to talk to us and sit and have a cuppa and just to talk to like-minded people. We didn't have to have all the answers for them. We just had to sit there and listen. And, you know, we're quite happy to do that. But we also would like to eventually branch out and become much more of a basically community services hub for the LGBTI community.
Kirsten, this is Gordon. I just wondered, have you approached the city council up there for help?
Yes, we have. At the moment, we don't have an entirely LGBTI-friendly council.
Uh-huh.
Now, that does make things a little bit difficult. It's pretty much 50-50 up here with our council. So that does make things
You've probably got an opportunity to tell us a little bit about that, about what's been happening up in Ballarat.
Yeah, they were flying the rainbow flag for 2 weeks for us in support of us during this difficult time for our community, and it was taken down with no explanation. And so they were taken back to council again to have a vote on whether or not that would be returned to the community flagpole. This was not an official flagpole, just want to make that clear. And the vote was actually overturned in a no majority. It was 4 votes all, and then the mayor used her deciding vote to basically throw it out of chambers. So
Yeah, we currently aren't feeling the support from our council, and there's no obvious sign of it at the moment, unfortunately.
Right. Well,
and it does sound though that despite these setbacks, you have, you know, there are events happening in Ballarat. You guys are persevering in spite of the fact that you're not maybe getting the support that people in Melbourne have kind of come to accept as a given at this point. So, hats off for that. That's some very hard work that you're doing, and I'm sure the community down in Ballarat has a huge amount of appreciation for it.
Yeah, I would hope so. I mean, Pride Hub's done a lot of work with other groups to build connections and to have us all standing together and working together and trying really hard to stand together in the face of adversity, putting a lot of hours and a lot of blood, sweat and tears into that. And I wouldn't have it any other way. I love it. I love doing it. So I'm quite happy to continue, that's for sure.
Well, that's very good to hear.
Kirsten, that comes out very strongly from talking to all three of you, that really this is driven by people who volunteer, who do a lot of good work, and we couldn't have these type of social spaces without people like Gordon, Rachel and Kirsten. Thank you all for being on the show tonight. I'm sorry we didn't have more time. We always seem to run out of time.
That's always well.
We will put up some links to some of these events and activities on our website.
That's it. So that's it for the episode. We'll be back tomorrow.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.